All right, guys, welcome to another episode of Drinks and Driveways. I'm your host, Andrew. As always, you can call me Uncle Andy, and it's been a while, guys. It's been over a month since we've had our last episode. As you can tell, I'm a solo. My co-host is still in California. Terry's out there fighting forest fires and turning people's electric on. But I am coming to you live from Hilton Head Island, and I have on today's show my father-in-law, Greg. Greg, welcome to the show.
Oh, it's great to be here.
And in Hilton Head. We are coming to you on the very last day of our vacation. It's we were here for 7 days.
7 days, and I feel like we're doing the Reds wrap up, you know, at the end of the right. game or something like that, when it's all over, the guys sit back and look back, you know,
right. And I just sprung this on Greg like 5 hours ago. I was like, hey, we want to do a podcast with me today. He's never been a listener of the show. He's never been on a podcast. So he's along for the ride, and he's a good sport for joining us. And so I've been, I don't know how long I've known Greg, 20 years almost, it seems like, and we've gone on numerous family vacations. And we always talk about the same thing where you roll into your family vacation and you're there for a week or 7 days, and it's the first or second day. You're like, man, we have so many more days left. And then all of a sudden, like, time evaporates, right?
Yeah, that's right. We were talking at the pool after like day one. Man, it seems like we've been here 3 days. It's just been one day.
Yeah.
And then you're right. And then Tuesday becomes Friday.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden we're packing stuff up, and it's, you know, vacation's over, and then we have nothing else to look forward to. No. And this is a slightly different vacation than what we normally do. It's September. We normally go in the middle of the summer, but with COVID, you know, we had to take extra precautions, and we rented an awesome house on the beach. This is new for us also. We usually come to the beach, but to have a house on the beach is really nice.
Yeah, we could walk right out. We fished how many times at, you know, surf fishing.
Right.
And
when we first found out we were coming here, I was like, man, I got to buy a fishing pole. I want to learn how to fish, and because it just looks so awesome. And the first day we got here, I think it was my first cast. I bought a fishing pole on Amazon and tied it. I threw it in the water. As soon as I threw it, the line snapped. and so you previously went to a bait shop down here, and you got some squid and bait shrimp. And so I went there, got a new fishing pole. And that guy could sell me anything. He's like, you need this, you need that.
And he did.
Yeah, and he did. and I'm sure they saw me like sucker. Like, he's asking me if I know these certain rigs and all this stuff. And I'm like, oh, yeah, of course, the Carolina rig. I totally get that.
Yeah. Well, and he sold me a shirt, and I never buy clothing.
Right. Well, you're on vacation, and you spend more than, you know, you buy it. Impulse buys, it just happens. But I mean, this is probably the first vacation that I've ever fished like this much. And I don't really know anything about fishing, but it was a blast. I love it. I think we're going to be super prepared for the next vacation.
Yeah, I'm going to say, and if you haven't surfed, what do you call it? A surf, fishing with a surf rod. These are like 12-foot long rods. They're huge rod. And we used to be able, before we were on the beach, we'd have to ride our bikes from wherever our little cottage or house was. And if you haven't ridden a bike before with a 12-foot ride long surf rod, you know, trying to steer around trees and bushes and stuff like that, it was much nicer walking.
We've come to we used to go every other year. We would go to Kiowa in South Carolina. I feel like we always just come to South Carolina. That's like our spot. That's and it seems default. Like a lot of Ohioans come to South Carolina. Yeah. But for Kiowa, we would always kind of be by the beach, but we would always be a 5-10 minute bike ride. And you know, I remember years ago helping you and our brother-in-law and your boys take all of the beach stuff. We'd wake up at like 8 o'clock in the morning on our beach day, load up the Suburban with the tent and the bucket. And you had like it all set up. You put like buckets in there that we could tie down so that, that tent didn't fly away.
you had to plan for that beach day.
Right. And then you get to the beach and it's awesome. But then you're drinking all day, and then by the time you want to leave the beach, you're hot and sweaty and sandy, and then you got to lug all that crap back home. that's like the worst part, and it is a big to-do when you want to go to the beach in our previous vacations. But this is a house right on the beach. We were lucky to get this house because we came in September, so they dropped the rate like crazy amount. Mm-hmm. But I think this has spoiled us for us never wanting to do a beach vacation differently than where it is.
We were spoiled. How many times did I tell you at night, you know, we have a real nice little pool, you know, associated with our condo here, our house. And the kids are playing by the pool all day. Of course, they have their toys and their floaty devices. And at the end of the night, you pick everything up, No, you just leave it lay and turn the lights off. Yeah. Go to bed and come back out and you go again.
It's been super nice. And this is my first vacation with all three of my kids, kind of a bigger trip and a longer car ride. We, Hilton Head's about 10 hours from Cincinnati, and I'm actually getting ready to leave in the next 2 hours to drive through the night because, and I didn't even tell Greg what our podcast normally is about. So our podcast is Drinks and Driveways. A lot of people that listen to them are younger people that have kids. And so we just talk about stuff that we do, and the long car rides are rough.
Because
you have older kids now, they're, you know, all grown, all fled the nest.
Well, let's wait a second here. Now I've come like the full 360 on this trip, because it used to be when you're in your 20s,
yeah,
you and your buds go on vacation and you do what you want. You do what you want when you want, you know, eat what you want, drink what you want, as much as you want. And then you get to your 30s and get married, or late 20s, 30s, get married, have kids, and it all flips.
Yeah.
And it's all about the kids. And that's like 10, 12 years. And then the kids start to get into their mid-teens, late teens, and it goes back to what you want to do again.
Yeah.
And now here it is. I'm here with my four grandkids, and it's flipped back again.
Right.
So it's kind of all about the kids again. It'll be that way for a while.
What would you prefer? Would you rather have the kids or the free time?
Oh, at this point, it's all good. It's all about the family. I had a wonderful dad and mom, and we'd go on these vacations.
Yeah.
And they had, I'm sure the joy they had was just getting the family together. And I think we're there with that, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. We have how many people in this house right now?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it sleeps 18. I think we're at least close to 15 with all the kids and all the family members that are here. So it's been it's been an awesome time. And as when I was a kid, we went to the beach and stuff, but my parents never had these big houses where multiple family members went. I think we had one or two, like we'd go to a lake, but most of our vacations were, we'd get like a condo and it was just me, my brother, my mom, and my dad that would do that. And so coming from that, that was really cool to kind of do our own thing, but I love kind of the chaos. Like by the end of the week, you kind of want to rip each other's faces off because you're just stressed and kind of over it. But I wouldn't do it any other way.
Well, let's just not forget that when we went to Kiowa, we went with like 30 families.
Right.
And they were all from our church community.
Yeah.
The St. Catherine. And so everyone knew each other. But more importantly, all the kids knew each other from grade school. So they were there with their kind of grade school buddies.
Right.
But a lot of the adults knew each other. And we had 5 o'clock happy hour at the beach every night. And we'd have 30 people sitting in a circle. It was all good.
And there's people in my neighborhood that go on vacation with one another. And I think we always talk about wanting to do like a big trip with a bunch of families. But with our current neighborhood, there's some families that have boys that are, you know, maybe 9, 10 years old. And then I have kids that are under 5. So it's kind of hard to do. But yes, we would definitely want to plan that. Because I think, like you said, when you have that many people, A, the kids kind of watch themselves because they just entertain themselves. And then B, the parents get to, you know, hang out and have fun. And I love it. It's coming from something I didn't have as a childhood. I love this kind of vacation. And it's even better that we're like on the beach and I don't have to lug shit around.
Yeah. And you know what? This is our first, I think you made the point, our first September trip. Usually we're June-ish, July or something like that. But, while your kids, before they get so far along in school and they're small, boy, September is a good time to go.
Yeah,
not
that's
crowded. A lot of advantages and less money, for your accommodations.
Yeah,
in
I think
September.
That I think we were when my wife told me where we were going, I think this house that we rented out was like $17,000 or $16,000 for the week. And we were like, hell no, that is going to happen.
Yeah,
but with September, it's like a third of the price.
Yeah.
And it
was a third.
Yeah. It's amazing that, we got this. And I mean, like you said, my kids are young. Everybody, all the kids that are here aren't really far along in school. So they've been in school for a week or so, but my oldest is in kindergarten. My nephew, he's in first grade. So they're missing school hasn't been a big factor, but yeah, I'm glad it worked out.
Yeah.
And, with COVID, it's been, I think a lot of people this year are trying to figure out different vacations because, they're not going to the amusement parks and the Disney worlds because, they got to stay, as distant as they can, especially with you. I don't know if I've talked about this on previous episodes or not, but your daughter, we have to be very self-conscious of socially distancing and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. She's in the uber high risk kind of category. But yeah, staying here, the entertainment was right out our door.
Yeah.
And as it related to the whole COVID deal, it was one of the big reasons for doing this trip.
Yeah.
You know, the September trip. And didn't have to go far for what you wanted to do.
Right. And I mean, I told all the people in my neighborhood, I'm like, I'm going to catch a shark. I'm going to catch a shark. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And it was a process, right? We talked about the first day, you know, we just wanted to let the sharks know, hey, we're in town and your boys better watch out because we're coming for you.
Yeah. I would hate to be staying here after us because I think we just fished out that whole ocean behind our place.
We killed it. We caught what, a stingray today?
We caught a stingray, and it wasn't like a little baby stingray.
And we'll post this. I took some pictures. I'll post this on our Instagram at Drinks and Driveway so you guys can see the stingray. But it as a going away present, nailing that stingray was awesome. That's quite an accomplishment. And you got it on my new fishing pole, so it
on
works.
His new pole,
and paid for itself.
A grandkids got to pet it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's something that they'll remember forever. And you also caught a hammerhead, right?
It looked like a hammerhead, but I looked it up a little bit. It's like a sand shark, but it has the same kind of big old wide head with the eyeballs
way out.
You know,
yeah, there was people. I mean, I've learned so much about fishing this week. The guy next to us today had a little kayak or whatever, and he was, because we were like, oh man, like when we're fishing, we're like, how are we ever going to get this line far enough out to catch a shark? Because if we catch a shark in the water that our lines are at, I'm never getting in the water again. And this guy on a kayak he kayaked all the way out, I don't know, 50, 60 yards from the ocean, cast his line there, and then came back to shore and fished. And it's a different world out there from us suburbanites, for sure. Yeah. So as a kid, you were saying that your mom and dad would always take you guys on vacations. What are some cool vacations you guys
went
on?
Each of my parents were school teachers, and so they had their summers off, and my dad taught summer school at the time it was called Our Lady of Cincinnati, then became Edgecliff College. But anyway, that was like a 6 week. So he was off in August, and we bought this Nimrod, if you believe that. There was a little small pop-up camper called a Nimrod back in the early 70s, and we had the Nimrod. And there was one back in the summer of 1970. My parents, in a station wagon with six kids, we drove to California and back. We camped for a month.
God.
Camped for a month in the Nimrod. And I think we only ate out one time. We just campgrounded all the way around. And my mom was so organized.
She made all the sandwiches.
We had a schedule where we... And we went to every, tour that we could go to. Like, we would go to the Stroh's. Well, we took a vacation to Detroit. Well, we went to the Stroh's Brewery tour.
Yeah.
We took a vacation to Pennsylvania one year. We went to the Hershey, Pennsylvania. Yeah. Anything that was free, that's what we did. You know, she signed up for it.
Well, when you got six kids, you know.
Oh, and back then, price is a factor. School teachers, they didn't have much money anyway, but we didn't.
That's
had enough.
And you guys did six kids in the car with no iPads. No devices.
Or air conditioning in the car.
That's incredible.
For a month.
When I was a little kid, I was probably 5 years old. My grandma, maybe I was six or seven. My grandma and grandpa took me to Disney World, just me and by myself because my brother wasn't born yet. And I remember that trip being in the back of, I don't know, a Cutlass or some old car. No, I don't know if we had air conditioning or not, but I just had like some figurines that I just had to use my imagination with the whole time.
Yeah.
And, you know, couldn't imagine the parents' mindset back then is how am I going to entertain this kid for 8 hours or to California forever, you know?
Or six kids.
Yeah, or six kids, you know, them fighting with each other. That's wild. We're going to figure out how this trip back home is going to go. I'm hoping we're leaving at midnight or around 10 a.m. or 10 p.m. because I'm trying to get home while the kids are sleeping. And I don't want to drive during the day and try to deal with them fighting. So we'll see what happens. I'm gonna have to drink some coffee before I go though.
Strong coffee.
Right. So my father-in-law, he is a man of many talents. He's like a wizard. He comes up with contraptions. You built like what'd you build this summer? Like a water slide or something off of a pig roaster for the kids in the backyard?
Yeah. We wanted to do something in the backyard.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And that's, so. I think that's always fun to have those Sunday night dinners where, you know, you bring the family together at the end of the week and kind of, you know, relax before you, you know, gear up for a whole nother week of working. And the kids love it. They, you know, they love going over to grandpa's on the slide, or we play home run derby or, you know, whatever. But I think that's, it's fun to have everybody involved. But you also do, the festival, right? What is it like to be a chair of a festival? Because you didn't have it this year because of COVID. So that's probably a big relief.
Yeah, this is the first year. I wish I could say I enjoyed the spring. I didn't think anybody really enjoyed the spring this year with the COVID. It's been 20 plus years. I've either chaired or co-chaired the festival in the springtime, and we're always early. But
Since Italia, guys, if our listeners out there, Since Italia is a unique, I think it's one of the most unique church festivals in the summer. So if you're going there, my father-in-law Greg is the one that makes the whole thing happen.
He's
not the single one, but he's the maestro. So when do you start planning for that?
Well, in fact, when we get back,
You're gearing up soon. For next year.
We start in November. November. So that's around the corner.
So how does one even go about planning that? First get the food, the entertainment.
You know, we have good helpers. We have a good steering committee, so we'll just leave it there. And you try to create new things each year. You kind of discuss. And we end up voting, okay, what we want to try this year, try to keep it fresh and different. But that's it. And you just got to believe.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid to try.
Right.
If it flops, you can look back and laugh later.
And I always, it just seems like, because you guys are one of the first festivals in the summer, and it seemed like the weather would always just be hit or miss. And it was just like, man, that rain could just kill a festival. All that time and effort. And it's... It has.
But we have backed it up a couple weeks the last few years, and it's worked. It's worked for us.
And it was almost kind of like a family affair thing. So we kind of would always work the deep fried Oreo booth and the raviolis. And we even came up with our Gregorio's restaurant. And I tell people this all the time. It was 3 or 4 years ago, we went to Cincy Italia Fest. Is that what it was called? Or Newport Italian Fest.
Yeah, Newport Italian Fest.
Newport Italian Fest. And we were Gregorio's, and everybody in the world thought we were our own restaurant. They were like, where are you located?
Well, and the real kind of funny thing is that there's a lot of nice restaurants there established. Trattoria Roma, or there was Pompilio's, and other Italian restaurants, Abella Luna. They're not here anymore, but they were very nice. And you would kind of call the guy. His name was Sal, the guy who ran the Newport Italian Festival. And he said, hey, Sal, what are your restaurant vendors you're going to have this year? And his first one out of his mouth was Gregorio's all the time. Well, we have Gregorio's and Pompilio's and Bella Luna and whatever. But it was just crack me up.
So many people would come up to us. And that was like a hard festival to work, because it was a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And by Sunday afternoon, you've been standing for 72 hours, and you're like, you're just
and you had to be out of there by midnight or something like that.
And it's like, usually it's hot as hell, and it is miserable. But there were so many people that have come up to us like, where are you guys located? We'd make something up. And my favorite part about that whole thing was the one year we decided to do tiramisu cake as like a dessert option, and we went to like Restaurant Depot where'd you get the tiramisu?
It was Restaurant Depot.
So we would buy these pans of tiramisu, slice them up real nice, put them on plates to present them, and then we would sell them to people. And every year they had like best of or best of taste, and we won best of taste for the tiramisu cake.
It was not best of taste, that's the taste to say, but the best of the Newport Fest.
We won like the best tasting dish at Newport Italian Fest, and it was just tiramisu from Restaurant
Depot. In fact, I think we won it twice. We also won it for the tortellini salad one year.
Oh, the tortellini salad is phenomenal.
That was good.
My mother-in-law does an amazing job with the tortellini salad. I could eat that stuff for days. But I remember that the news people would come up and be like, I just got to have a piece of this tiramisu. They're like, what's your recipe? I'm like, well, it's like our great-grandmother's recipe. It was a good time. I definitely missed that. And I think a lot of people miss the summer. Summer events. And I mean, what do you think that's going to do for parishes and stuff, not having that income?
I think for a lot of the church festivals, I mean, it's become a real business. I mean, it's not just the hot dogs and duck pond,
right.
There's the bands, entertainment. You gotta have good food, and gotta have a professional looking, I think, set up. And so for a lot of parishes, it's just more than they want to deal with. So the bit by bit, I think the church festival is going away.
I know.
And after this year, there may be another whole block of
Do you think the church festivals, is that more of like a West Side Cincinnati thing, or is that, you think that's like everywhere?
I think it's everywhere. Yeah. Still in Cincinnati. I mean, there's still so many Catholic churches, and I work in them, Oakley, and St. Cecilia's is right there.
Yeah.
And right around the corner, St. Mary's in Hyde Park, right? And they both have, not this summer, but they always had festivals. And yeah. I think both those parishes probably will, but maybe some others won't.
Yeah. I mean, I have kind of noticed that some of them are going away. They're kind of doing like joint festivals or whatnot. And, you know, now I think when all this COVID stuff happened in March, we're like, well, I mean, this really sucks, but like, at least we'll have football. At least we'll have Oktoberfest. And yeah. Me and my wife went to Germania, the Oktoberfest, and it was a completely different thing. It was actually almost was kind of better because there was nobody there. Mm-hmm. Everybody wanted to stay home, but you kind of miss like getting the beer cheese and the pretzels and that, the music going. I even bought my Lederhosen. I'm like trying to go all authentic this year.
Yeah.
And now I don't have anywhere to wear it to.
Dude, here's what you do. You go online like right after Oktoberfest season.
Yeah.
And particularly for the kids, while they're small, everyone who goes to Germany or whatever, they always come back, or so many, they look at these cute little Lederhosen for the, yeah, for little Johnny or little Billy or
Susie Q,
whoever. And then they get tired of them and they put them on eBay and they sell them real cheap. You can get the greatest.
Oh, and 100% authentic.
100% authentic. you know, the leather pants. What did you say that was called?
Lederhosen.
Lederhosen. You can get the whole getup for probably $30-$35. Right. You can dress your kids up and go out.
I mean, my wife would love that because she just wants the photo op to put on online or on Facebook. But yeah, I mean, and have you ever been to the German Oktoberfest?
I have not.
And if you guys, my father-in-law, he is like very German. So he's all about, you know, German food. What's your favorite German Oktoberfest kind of food? Is it beer cheese?
Oh, you know, I go to a German restaurant and I'm a sauerbraten guy or that kind
yeah.
of. But you usually don't find it like a Germania or right. the festival. But yeah, I like to put sauerkraut on things.
Yeah, it's sad to be you know, Oktoberfest is just always like our really. I mean, me and my wife love it. Like we love those dark German beers, the headaches that it causes the next day. It's just part of
I don't know
flavor.
My stepdaughter who is Andrew's wife. Her name's Ashley.
Yeah,
we used to work a food booth at the Germania Oktoberfest right next to the Warsteiner booth.
Yeah.
And there was a guy who was just in love with Ashley. And he would keep saying, whatever she asked for, she would keep getting those Dunkel beers. We'd bring right. over some of those Oreos or raviolis. So and oh my God, we would just drink those draft Dunkels. It was beautiful.
And I mean, they taste so good, but they hit you so hard. And then the next day, it's like, God, it was the worst hangover ever. And I miss that. And those mugs, man. I mean, a beer in a mug just tastes better. Like it's just all around good things. And I mean, I hope we get this stuff figured out and we get back to a little bit of normalcy, but you know, you never know. And so I'll end on some of this stuff. So you're a big Reds fan, right?
And this is a big night for the Reds. Yeah, I am a big Reds
right.
fan.
Right. And I've always been, I mean, baseball was my favorite sport growing up. I was playing baseball. Football has always been my favorite sport to watch. And I've always kind of had a struggle with watching baseball because it just doesn't keep my attention like football does. And so I've always been amazed that you guys in particular, you and your boys are always super, you know everything about the Reds, like which person they should bring in, you know, who's batting what percentage. And I, you know, to me, it's such a marathon that it's just hard for me to stick with it for 4+ months. But, you know,
it's a Cincinnati thing, particularly people my generation. I remember going to the games, and I'm getting old, but we would buy the scorecard and we'd sit in the stands and we would chart the game.
Right.
And even back then, we you'd buy a game program. In the back of the program, it would have the names of the umpires for the national. And we could go back and we could recite the umpire with the names of the umpires and what numbers they were.
Wow.
and we knew all the, but we had baseball cards and we knew all the players.
Yeah.
And, it's
cool. America's pastime. And I want to get back into it. And I was like, this is the season. Like it's only 60 games. Like I can stick with it. But as soon as football came, I was like, I started losing interest, but I'm, you know, I think the Reds are what, like they're one game away.
Saying here that, we've won 5 in a row. I think right now we're right, like
about to make a run,
maybe tie, you know, for making a playoff spot. But Robbie, are we up or down?
Up. We're watching. We got. And if you guys can hear in the background, everybody, the whole family went out for ice cream on our last night, and they all just got back. So we'll wrap it up soon. But what are they winning?
They're up 6-0. Wow. So they're going for 6 in a row.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, hopefully we get. I mean, I do remember the one playoff game that they played. I think the Giants, probably 5 years ago or something. I went to that game, and that was the coolest baseball game I've ever been to. Like the environment and the vibe in the stands was just so different than any other baseball game that you go to in July, where it's just I'm gonna eat a hot dog and drink a beer and just have a good time. This was like everybody was so into it, and I'm so jealous of the cities like Boston, New York, that or LA that they get that every single year. It's just almost not fair. Yeah, Cincinnati's such a baseball town.
It is a baseball town, and I grew up appreciating the game. I even appreciate the pace of the game. You know, so many people today, it's not fast enough for them. Well, I would just say that they don't understand or they don't appreciate the finer points of the game. Because I love the pace of the game, particularly, you know, on a weeknight game, you come home from work and, you know, quick change of clothes, go down there. It's been hectic all day and you can sit in the pace of the game. To me, fits beautifully with what I want.
That's, I mean, hey, who knows? Maybe we'll be watching Reds baseball in October. You know, we need a little good news in 2020.
After getting beaten by the Browns.
Right. Joe Burrow, think he's going to be the real deal. But we need a freaking defense and some offensive linemen, like, as soon as possible. Well, Greg, thanks so much for joining us. You know,
have me back.
Was it good? Everybody that I'm like, hey, come on my podcast, they're like, I don't know how to do a podcast. And it's just so, you just talk, right? It's very simple. My sister-in-law is sitting over here laughing at me. She's going to be the next one. We're going to talk about her shop. We'll give her a shout-out. Vintage Creations in Westwood. You should go check them out. We'll talk about what it's like to own your own business.
And you can include your wife in that discussion.
Right, yeah. Oh, yeah. My wife just bought a Jazzercise Center, so we'll be talking about that. I'm sure we'll document that. And to wrap all of this up, so like I said, Terry is not here. He's in California. We're still trying to work out the logistics. Terry is not so smart with computers. I actually had to fly out to California to get it working for him. I'm just kidding, but I did go out there, and so he's really busy, and with the time difference, we're still trying to work out the logistics on how to get him back on the show. But until then, I got a bunch of people to talk to and keep providing you guys content. I apologize for the lack over the past month, but hey, life gets hectic and you guys adjust it. So thanks so much for listening. Until next time, we'll see you soon.